Good morning. It's certainly good to be with you all this morning. We talked on Wednesday evening a little bit, I think Kyle did in class, about the parable of the talents. And I'll be the first to say that among the talents that I believe I have, public speaking is not among those. So I'm always nervous to stand in front of you, but I'm always grateful to stand in front of you as well. It definitely, as everyone who probably has prepared a lesson will protest, it forces you to study more than you might normally. And I'm sure that I probably got more out of studying for this than what I might be able to give to you this morning, but I would encourage you definitely to follow along in your Bible this morning. I will be doing some of the speaking, but I'll be letting the Bible do most of the speaking for me this morning. So if you would, let's open up and read Isaiah chapter 12, beginning. Isaiah chapter 12, and I don't know what if you have subtitles, but mine calls this a hymn of praise. So in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1, we begin reading, "And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahweh is the Lord of my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, will draw water from the well of salvation. And in that day you will say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things that is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." So obviously from this reading, you can tell probably my main thought for this morning is going to be how we as Christians should always praise our God and our Lord, regardless of our situation here in life. A story that I found as I was preparing this morning was a story about a gentleman named McNeil Jordan. Mr. Jordan was born in Barbados on Christmas Day in 1902. And on his 100th birthday, he could still recite parts of scripture and poetry. He could tell you the name of the ship that brought him to Ellis Island, the street where he got his first job as a garment worker, and the name of the cafeteria where he ate 70 years ago. And so a month before McNeil's 100th birthday, his family made a CD. For those of you who are young in the audience, I'll tell you what a CD is after services. So for a CD, they wanted to put everything that he wanted to say on this so that they would have it for a keepsake. So his 8 children, his 23 grandchildren, his 33 great-grandchildren, and his 3 great-great-grandchildren all got copies. And so McNeil's recipe for a happy life went like this. "I eat pretty well. I sleep well, I walk quite a bit, and every week there's church where I praise my God." McNeil went on to say that that is what is most important, to give God praise every day. That's all. That's my life. And I would submit to you this morning that that's great advice, because we know how important that is to God. We can read about that at least 225 times that I could find during my study, different praises that we can read about. King David, we know, was a champion of offering praise to God. Let's turn together to Psalm chapter 7. Again, we'll be doing quite a bit of reading this morning. Psalm chapter 7, starting in verse 17, says, "I will praise the Lord according to all his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." If you flip over a couple of chapters to Psalm chapter 9, we'll read in verses 1 and 2. Psalm chapter 9, 1 and 2. "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. With my enemies turned back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness." And in Psalm 21, still a couple of chapters over, Psalm chapter 21, and then we'll read in verse 13, says, "Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power." Psalm 28 verse 7 reads, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart is trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him." Psalm 40 verse 3, "He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." Psalm 106, verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Psalm 107 cries out 4 different times, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And finally, in Psalm 145, Psalm chapter 145, we'll read 17 to 21. It says, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to those who call upon Him, and to all who call upon His truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him, and He will also fear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever." There's no doubt about it. We really should praise the Lord. And Isaiah will show us why as well. So this morning, let's learn about praising the Lord because He is our salvation. Let's turn together to Isaiah chapter 12. Again, we already read that. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 again. It says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thou, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength, my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, we shall draw water out of the wells of salvation." So I think we can see an extremely important part of our salvation here in verse 1, where it says, "O Lord, I will praise you, though you were angry with me. Your anger is turned away." So what's he talking about there? In my opinion, he's talking about God's righteous anger against our sin. And if you're saved, God's anger is turned away from you. King David also helps us understand this in Psalm chapter 103. Let's turn back there. Psalm chapter 103, verses 8 through 12. Psalm 103, 8 through 12. It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. So far as the east is from the west, so far as He has removed our transgressions from our sins. As a father places pity to his children, so the Lord pities those who will fear Him." So if you're saved, God's anger is turned away from you, but He has a right to be angry with us. Part of our salvation is admitting this truth. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9, King Solomon asks a wise question there. He says, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from sin?" The obvious answer is no one can say that. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3 together. Romans chapter 3. We'll read verses 10 through 12 together. Romans chapter 3. It says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good, no, not one." And also, let's continue reading in that same chapter, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So we understand here that the Holy God has a right to be angry with us. But how is His anger turned away? We've also read that. There's only one place where it could have been turned away, and that was on the cross when our Lord Jesus died for our sins. Let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to read 5 and 6 together. It says, "But He who was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. For all were like sheep who have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity for us all." So let's stop just for a minute this morning and think about what our Lord did for us. Let's think about that sacrifice. The sacrifice that was made for us can never be repaid, can never be duplicated. It was the most perfect sacrifice and example of love and humbleness that we will ever experience. In May of 1915, the British passenger ship, Lusitania, was torpedoed by a German submarine. When the Lusitania was hit, there were 1,960 people on board. And in a matter of minutes, the huge ship began to come apart. In the next few hours, 1,201 souls and crew died. One of those who went down with the ship was American millionaire Alfred Vanderbilt. Survivors report that Vanderbilt spent his last moments helping others to safety. He rounded up as many children as he could, helping those to safety and helping them get into lifeboats. But just before the ship went down, Vanderbilt handed his own life jacket to a young mother with a baby in her arms. While that was a brave and noble sacrifice, Jesus Christ did so much more. Jesus took not only our physical death, He took our spiritual death. He took our eternal death. Without Jesus, we were all going down, and not just into the depths of the sea, but into an everlasting torment and death in hell. There was absolutely nothing that we could have done to save ourselves. But Jesus took all of our guilt and punishment on the cross. Jesus took our death so that we could have His eternal life by placing our trust in Him. And the Apostle Paul could say these wonderful words to Christians. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to read 6 through 9. Romans chapter 5, 6 through 9. It says, "For we were still without, when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." So again, I submit to you this morning, we should praise our Lord. So we've already read this, but let's turn again to Isaiah chapter 12. I'm going to keep your fingers moving this morning. Isaiah chapter 12. And again in verse 3, it reminds us that we can praise the Lord with joy. "Therefore, with all joy, you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation." So let's look at that word salvation for just a minute. This word salvation to me carries the idea of deliverance. It carries the idea of prosperity and health, help, freedom, safety, defense, rescue, and victory. And that's all good, and it feels good to be forgiven. But what if you're not feeling that joy? Maybe someone has hurt you or betrayed you. Maybe you're grieving your own faults, or maybe you're feeling a little bit unworthy. Maybe someone you love is going through a terrible illness, or maybe someone that you know has even died. That hurt is real, and the joy seems to have disappeared from your life at times. But let me urge you this morning to praise the Lord anyway. We may be hurting, but God is always good. He has blessed us in countless ways, and we will always have great reasons to praise our Lord. And on top of that, you're going to find yourself feeling that praise has the tendency to raise not only your spirits, but those who are around you as well. I found that to be true so many times. Try it and see. So praise the Lord this morning for the joy He has given you and for the joy that He will give you in praise. Reading on in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4, reminds us that we can praise Him in our prayers. "And in that day ye shall say, praise the Lord, call upon His name." I don't suppose we should ever call on the Lord without praising Him somehow, in some way. Praise Him in your prayers. But verse 4 also reminds us that we could praise Him to other people as well. "Declare His doings among the people. Make mention His name is exalted." Praise Him with joy. Praise Him in your prayers. And praise Him to other people. Praise the Lord because He is our salvation. But brothers and sisters, we also should praise Him because He is our strength. As verse 2 states here, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength." We surely need strength to live in this world, especially the world that we're in today. But I feel like sometimes we often look for that strength in all the wrong places, don't we? Sometimes we look to find strength in money. Is it nice to have money? It is. It's nice to have money. But is that where we're going to find our strength? If you ask any wise person who has money, they're going to tell you that money is just not enough. You might find strength in your muscles. I was hoping Thomas might be here this morning. I was going to get him with this one. You might have strength in your muscles. But someday you might have a body like mine. If you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger, even he's not looking that great these days. It's good to have muscles, but those muscles are going to fade away as well. You might find strength in your mind. But again, disease, fatigue, stress, all of those things can take their toll. So where does that lead us? I would submit to you this morning that we find our strength in Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Years ago, an elderly Christian lady who had begun to take a terrible toll on her memory. She once knew much of the Bible by heart, but eventually only one part of one precious verse stayed with her, and it was from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, where Paul says, I know whom I have believed and persuaded, and that he is able to keep that I have committed to him until that day. And as time went on, even that brief portion of Scripture began to slip away from her. And in the last days, as she hovered near her death, her loved ones noticed her lips were moving, and they bent over to see if she needed something. And they heard her saying over and over again the one word that she remembered from the Bible, which was simply him, him, him. Although she had lost most of her mental abilities, she never lost him. And that dear Christian lady still had all the strength that she needed because she had him. And guess what? Jesus wants us for him to be our strength too. If you read again in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. Praise the Lord, because he is our strength. But family, let's also praise him in our song. So again in verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Jesus Christ is our song. He's our salvation and our strength. And Jesus Christ puts a song in our heart. In verse 5 of chapter 12, we can sing with praise because our Lord has done so many excellent things. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. And reading on in verse 6, cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for the great is the Holy One of Israel in our midst. There's a poem that I found that I was going to read just a brief portion this morning that I think explains a little bit more about why Jesus is so deserving of our praise. And it goes something like this. It says, no means of measure can define his limitless love. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He's enduringly strong and he's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast and he's immortally graceful. He's impurely powerful and he's impartially merciful. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he sees. He guards and he guides. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance, the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway to glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors and the head of heroes. He's the leader of legislatures, and he's the governor of the governors. The Prince of Peace, he's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. His promise is sure, and his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless, and his mercy is everlasting. His love never changes, and his word is enough. His grace is sufficient, his reign is righteous, his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. We can sing with great praise because our God has done so many excellent things. And guess what? He's not done yet. Verse 6 also reminds us that the Lord is here with us right now. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst for thee. Let the Lord put a joyful song of praise in your heart today. As I was going through, I found a couple of different stories, one of which I've already told you about, but another one that I found, this story of strength, came from a little girl named Mary. And as they rolled little Mary into the MRI room one day, Dr. Brown tries to imagine what she was feeling, because you see, Mary had already suffered a stroke. She had the left side of her body was paralyzed, and she had been hospitalized for treatment for a brain tumor. She also had recently lost her home and both of her parents in a fire. So they all wondered how Mary might react to the test, but she went into the MRI machine without the slightest protest. And as they started the test, each imaging sequence required the patient to remain perfectly still for about 5 minutes. I don't know about you, but it's not easy to get a 5-year-old to stay still for very long. Especially one who had suffered so much. So Dr. Brown said that after about 2 minutes into the first sequence, we noticed that the video monitor that Mary's mouth was moving. We even heard a muted voice over the intercom. So they halted the exam and gently reminded Mary not to talk. She was smiling and she promised not to talk. So they reset the machine and started over. And once again, they saw her facial movement and faintly heard her voice. And what she was saying wasn't very clear, so everyone was becoming a little impatient. So with a busy schedule, they had put it on hold to perform her emergency MRI. And so they went back in and they slid Mary out of the machine. And once again, they looked at her And she, with her crooked smile, wasn't upset in the least. The technologist, perhaps a bit gruffly, said, "Mary, you were talking again, and that causes blurry pictures." But Mary's smile remained, and she replied, "I wasn't talking, I was singing. You said no talking." Dr. Brown said, "We looked at each other feeling a little silly. What were you singing?" someone asked, and she said, "Jesus loved me." I always sing "Jesus loves me" when I'm happy. The adults in the room were speechless, and they had to hide their tears. That little girl could sing with joy in her heart because the Lord was her song. May God give us that kind of jubilant childlike faith. So praise the Lord. Praise Him because He is our salvation and our song. And if you've never been saved, I would urge you to think about that this morning. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. He rose again from the dead. Let's turn, as we start to close, back to the book of Psalm. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him, and they were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all His bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned." So this morning, again, I would urge you to think about your own life this morning. If you're like me, there are times in your life when you often will go to God whenever things are hard. But we sometimes fail to give God the glory and the good things that happen in our life too. We often want to pat ourselves on the back for those things and think that it's something that we've done. So this morning I would urge you to think about your own life. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, if you've not yet named Jesus as your Savior, we stand ready to help you with those things as well. I would ask you this morning to search your own life. And let us know if there's anything that we can do to help you this morning. We would be glad to pray for you. There's a baptistry behind me that's got water ready. We could baptize you this morning as well. You just need to make those needs known. And we would encourage you to do that as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.